Thank you, Stephanie. I'll continue the reading from verse 45 to 54. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." These are the facts of the crucifixion. May the Holy Spirit help us to learn the truths of the crucifixion. You know, beloved, God's final answer to every question and problem of life is Calvary. At Calvary, he answered the sin question. Why doesn't a holy God judge sin? How can a holy God forgive sinners? And you know, those questions were answered at Calvary. Why is the human suffering in the world? Does God even care for the suffering of the people in the world? You know, I would like to start saying that we have to clear on what happened at Calvary. At Calvary, we don't have the martyrdom of a failure. At Calvary, we don't have the murder of a fanatic. At Calvary, we have the good shepherd laying down his life for his sheep. At Calvary, we have the Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. At Calvary, we have God commending his love toward us. God's final and complete answer to suffering is at Calvary. And I'll try to explain it this morning. I found many reasons, but at least I would like to consider five answers that God gives to us to help us to understand, to help us to experience and benefit from the sufferings of life. The first one is creation. Why is there suffering in the world? Because creation is groaning, creation is travailing in pain, creation is in bondage. In Genesis, if we move to Genesis, we are going to discover three things that we also will see during the Calvary process. Thorns, sweat, and dust. When we read the Word of God, there says, by the sweat of your brow, said God, you are going to toil and dust. You came from the dust, said the Lord, and now you are going to return to the dust. All of creation is groaning according to Romans chapter 8. And then we come to Calvary. And what do we find in Calvary? Thorns, sweat, and dust. They, as Stephanie read this morning, they press upon the holy brow of the Creator, the very thorns that came into creation because man's sin. And Jesus wore a crown of thorns. It was like he was saying, all right, I accept this. I didn't make creation this way, but I will. I did not make man or the world to have suffering, but that is the way sin has made it. I am not guilty, but I will accept it. I am not to blame, but I'll receive it. And he received the crown of thorns as though he was bearing on his holy body the curse of creation. Sweat in the garden, you remember, he sweated great drops of blood. Not mere human perspiration because of exertion, no. But as it was a sacrifice, he suffered terrible. It's as though he is saying, all right, I am going to do something no man could do individually. And all men could not do collectively. I am going to give myself on the cross. Dust is the other element. You know something? Have you read Psalm 22 lately? You have to read it. In Psalm 22, Jesus say, what happened in the crucifixion? Of course, it's David who wrote that. And of course, our Lord's body did not see corruption. Our Lord's body did not turn to dust. God preserved miraculously that body. And when he rose with a glorified body. But our Lord Jesus entered into the dust of death. And so when we go to Calvary and we look at the crown of thorns and sweating drops and of blood and see him entering into the dust of death, we say creation will one day be delivered, liberated. The Creator has died for his creation. And we notice something else. We notice that when Jesus died, all of creation sympathized with him. The sun refused to shine. It's as though God reached out and put a veil over the light and said, "He, my son, is entering now into the darkness." And beloved, then the earth began to shake, and the earth was rent, and the tombs were open, as we just read, and heaven and earth sympathize with the Creator when he died on the cross. Don't we ever blame God for sickness or for tears or for death. These are not his creation. Rather go to Calvary and realize that he went through the dust of death, and he entered into the darkness of death, that one day all of creation may be delivered. The next time we find ourselves in the bondage and the travail of just being humans in a world that is filled with suffering and sorrow and sadness, let's go to Calvary, because at Calvary we'll see the Creator delivering his creation. The second answer that I find to suffering is conflict. There is a battle going on. We are well aware of that. God declared war on Satan, the forces of God battling against the forces of Satan. And you know, we are part of that. Even we didn't declare that war, but we are part of that war. And Jesus said, "He who is with me is not with me, is against me." He also said, "He who is not gathering with me is scattering." He also said, "The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy." And Jesus said also, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, beloved, what happened on the cross? At the cross, the conflict was ended. There are a few battles that we have to still be involved in, but the war has been won. On the cross, Jesus completely defeated Satan. The Apostle Paul in Colossians in chapter 2 makes it a marvelous statement about my Lord's work on the cross. He said, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Now, we as Christians enter into suffering not from defeat, but from victory. Probably some of you remember, some that were born before the Second War. Remember when the American soldiers were discovering, and for months, month after month after month, in one particular case, 3 years, they were discovering people hiding in caves, starving, that didn't know that the war was over. And they say, "What a minute, the war is over." And that made me think that sometimes we find Christians who are going through suffering and difficulty, and they say, "God is fighting me," or "Satan is fighting me." But beloved, no, Satan cannot get a victory in our lives unless we let him. That is why Paul says, don't give place to the devil. Don't let him get a beachhead anywhere in your mind, anywhere in your heart, because if he moves in, he will use suffering to tear us down. But if we trust in the Christ of Calvary, Jesus will use suffering to build us up. You know, I, as a pastor, had so many experiences next to beds of people dying, and this is a reality. The third answer that I discover is character. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Why does God permit us to go through suffering? Sometimes we have to go through the furnace, sometimes we have to go through the waters, I should say, to build character. What does the cross have to say about character? Well, the biggest problem in character, you know, is sin. That is our bigger problem. You and I were born sinners. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And character has been polluted by sin. What did Jesus do on the cross about this? Well, he not only did he pay the penalty for our sins, that means forgiveness, that means that our names were written in heaven, that means that we could have eternal life, a clear conscience, but we also broke the power of sin. The power of the cross is not just simply power to rescue us from the lake of fire. The power of the cross is power to build character. And in fact, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 informed us that Jesus Christ was made perfect through suffering. You know, how can God be made perfect? Probably you say. After all, as far as character is concerned, God is God. He cannot be improved. But if we go to the original, we discover that made perfect means made complete, brought to fulfillment, qualify. Our Lord was going to enter into a new ministry. He was going to be the high priest in the holy sanctuary, heavenly sanctuary. And to prepare him for that ministry, he had to go through the cross. When we go to the cross, we find there that the power of sin has been broken. Let me read it. Shall we continue in sin, said Paul, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that have died to sin, where? At the cross, of course, live any longer therein? For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. It all happened at the cross, beloved. Around the cross, and you avoid the cross, and you can build Christian character. The fourth answer that I find in this matter of human suffering is companionship. Companionship. God wants to draw close to us. He sometimes put us in a narrow valley. When God wants us to draw closer to each other, he puts us through suffering sometimes. Permit us to go through suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul tells us that he went through all of this difficulty that we might be able to comfort one another. Would you please look upon suffering not as a waste, but as an investment? You know, I have to repeat this to myself because I am preaching to myself with this message for reasons that I don't need to explain. But now I know that when we hurt, when our hearts are broken, and when everything appears to fallen apart, nobody wants to hear a lecture on theology, of course. That is why we have that tremendous need of companionship. God says, when you are going through the water, I will be with you. When you are going through fire, I will be there. Fear thou not, for I am thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm sorry. Have you noticed that in your life? I know you have the greatest encouragement. Sometimes comes when someone is just standing there by your side, saying nothing, companionship. Someone with an arm around us. Someone is standing there. That is what God does. And this is possible, or was possible, because of Calvary. God could not get closer to me apart from Calvary. At Calvary, Jesus Christ entered into an experience of companionship with you and with me. Hebrews talks about that. In fact, that is the whole theme of the book of Hebrews, the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Precious, precious, precious. That is companionship. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, says Hebrews 4:14, who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. You know, the final answer to suffering, at least the one that I am going to present to you, because there are many more, is Calvary. Calvary. Suffering for the Christian can lead to glory. Doesn't always lead to glory, of course, because that depends upon us. Suffering can make us better, or suffering can make us bitter, I should say. Suffering can lead us to a crown or lead us to a defeat. All depend upon our faith in God. I am sure that when the early followers of our Lord Jesus Christ were standing there at Calvary, they thought the whole thing was over. That is what you remember the Emmaus disciples said. We had hope that it should be he that should restore Israel, but he's dead now. Can you imagine? They saw him hanging there in weakness and in shame, and they thought that everything was finished. He had lost all the human rights. He had lost, Jesus our Lord, all the civil rights. Looked as though he even lost his father. And yet, what was the result? Glory, glory. That is what Jesus said to those men when he walked with them. He said, did it not set the Christ to suffer and then enter into his glory? The suffering can lead to glory if we wait upon the Lord in faith, of course. That is what Calvary says. Calvary says, well, Good Friday, we call it Good Friday, is not the end. We have to wait. We have to wait until he came forth that tomb in glory. He left behind those grave clothes. He came out in the glory clothes, and all he carried with him from Calvary were wounds, not scars, wounds. And he's in heaven today with wounds. And among those other things, those wounds are saying to us that suffering leads to glory if the will of God, if we do the will of God, if we don't rebel That is the secret. If we submit, if we love, if we trust, then suffering leads to glory. He did it with Joseph. He spent 13 years of rejection, humiliation, separation, lying, and finally was seated on the throne. It was with David. You remember David. Years of running and hiding in caves, chased by that evil king. And yet, it ended up in glory. So it was with Job. So it was with Jesus. Peter says, I am a witness of his sufferings and the glory that followed. And as you read 1 Peter, you discover suffering, glory, suffering, glory. I reckon that the suffering of this present time, said Paul, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed to us. And one day, beloved, one day God will take our broken heart, and there will be glory, glory forever and ever. And we'll look and we'll see what God was laying in store for us when we went through the flood and we went through the fire and we went through the battles and we were saying, God, where are you? And probably he will say to us, I was laying up glory for you. You know, that is what Calvary is all about. Calvary said to us once and for all, the only way to a crown is a cross. But we don't like that, of course. We want to go the easy way. And on Calvary, give us God's last word, God's final answer. We are suffering sometimes because we are just creatures in a cursed creation. But at the cross, the curse of creation was broken. Sometimes we suffer because we are in a conflict with Satan. But at the cross, the conflict was won. Sometimes we suffer because God has to build character. And at the cross, he broke the power of sin that you and I might become more and more like Jesus Christ. So sometimes we suffer because of companionship. God wants to draw closer to us and closer to the cross. He became a merciful and faithful high priest by sympathizing and draw us near to him. And sometimes we suffer because of chastening. We didn't explain that this morning, but when that happened, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. And sometimes we suffer because of crowns. God says, I want you to have something up in heaven. I want to give you some glory up there when my son appears. You know, that is what happened at the cross. First the cross, then the glory. First the cross and then the throne. Beloved, the important thing about life is not escaping suffering or enduring suffering. The important thing about life is investing suffering. And so God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish in our lives. You know, so God can accomplish marvelous things in our lives if we invest our sufferings. Now let's stop being little children who think God is punishing us, because he is not. Sometimes he does have to do that. So for that reason, let's stop whimpering, let's stop running away, let's stop being isolated and insulated. Let's remember that the first Christians suffer, and we are going to suffer too. We'll suffer because we are humans. We suffer because we are Christians. We suffer because we are growing. We suffer because we are going. We suffer. Let's stand up like godly men and godly women, and let's say what that great man of the Old Testament said, Job: the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God bless you, beloved, and help us to be faithful to God even in the middle of the suffering and the trials. And remember the words of Job: the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's bow our head in prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you. Thank you that even suffering can be taken by your hand and made into something good and beautiful and eternal. Thank you that when we humans and circumstances and Satan are doing the worst, you can accomplish the best. Thank you, Father, for not only saving us by the blood of Jesus Christ, but making us, molding us, preparing us through the power of Christ. I pray for those today who suffer, whether it be here in this congregation or probably in a hospital or a house, those who are bearing pain and difficulty, may they go to Calvary and there see in Christ all the answers. And may we bow in submission and crown him King of our lives. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.